E.T. Phone Home.
I'm just having some brewski beers in my Mojo Dojo Casa house.
Wendy, I'm home.
There's no place like home.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the House of Cinema podcast. I am your host, Joe Aragon. With me today, Sydney Volpe and Clara Curtis in person. We are recording this live from Austin, Texas. Yeehaw, everybody.
We are in a house together.
We're in a house.
You're talking so smooth, like a radio host.
You've got the headphones and everything.
I know. We've kind of upgraded a little bit our machinery to kind of do this in live. So hopefully we don't run into too many technical difficulties. But yeah, we are here not just because we wanted to experience the culture of Austin, but we are here to celebrate South by Southwest Film Festival, which is, you two have been here for 3 days, 2 days? How long?
Today's our fourth day.
Yeah.
Four days already?
Yeah. By.
Wow, I say that because I have arrived as of one day.
Fashionably late.
I had a reason.
You had a good reason.
Yeah, what was the reason,
Jeff? What was that reason? It was just a casual reason.
That reason was I hosted the red carpet at the Oscars for TikTok and ABC, and that was quite the experience. I interviewed a lot of famous, talented actors and talked about movies. And then after that, I went to watch the Oscars live. So that was my excuse not to get South by Southwest.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't call that an excuse.
I know. that's a nice way to frame it.
I did miss, like, Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which you did not see, Clara.
No, I have no interest.
Clara chose not to participate.
I was like, no, thank you.
Sydney.
Yes.
You did see it.
I did see Roadhouse, and the I think biggest thought people had about Roadhouse was that it was fun because we saw it in a crowd. But unfortunately, Roadhouse is not getting a theatrical release, so it was fine.
Do you think, and I know this is going to be an episode dedicated to our reaction to the Oscars, so I don't want to get too derailed, but do you think people will respond positively seeing this movie at home, or do you think it's gonna be another like prime, like not great movie?
I mean, I think people love Jake Gyllenhaal, and I think the action is fun. Like Doug Liman, obviously a pretty good director, and it's shot very energetically. And Conor McGregor is kind of really unhinged in it, so I think there is a very specific crowd that will think it kicks ass.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys are at South by Southwest. I know you guys have seen SL TV Glow. Mm-hmm. You've seen Y2K. Mm-hmm. There's another big movie that you guys have seen that I don't know about.
I'm trying to think. I saw Babes. I don't know if that's Babes was a big movie.
Babes will be big.
A lot of Glazer comedy.
Yeah. Sing Sing was big.
Sing Sing.
Oh, Clara, not even mentioning the fact that you've seen
Sing Sing. I'm literally sitting on the floor.
Sitting on the ground. You saw Sing Sing and not Roadhouse.
Yes, that's what
Sing
I did.
Sing Sing might be like a really big deal this year.
Like, I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be huge.
Fun story. I interviewed Colman Domingo at the Oscars. And he's an incredible person. So well-spoken, so passionate about what he's doing. As we were interviewing him, Cynthia Erivo walked up to us
and
had a moment with him.
Aww.
It was really incredible stuff. But I asked him about like Sing Sing and Rustin, and we'll talk about it later. But he's very excited about Sing Sing.
Yeah, no, the stuff he was saying like in the introduction was like he's hyped about it. It was really cool.
Really excited about that. Okay, well, I'm excited to start experiencing South by Southwest. It is Monday that we're recording this. By time this is published for the world to listen to,
yes,
Sydney and I will have seen the Dev Patel directorial debut of Monkey Man.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
We are feeling pretty good. And then tomorrow we're all watching Immaculate.
Yes.
There's still a lot to be loved and watched.
Fall Guy.
That's a lot. Oh, yeah. Fall Guy.
Clara is seeing the new Don Hertzfeldt film tonight.
I am. I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Lot to celebrate. So we'll have more South by Southwest content. If you want to hear more specific stuff, we'll have a lot of that uploaded to Patreon. I know Clara and Sydney already started doing that. So that's really exciting. But yeah, check out the Patreon. We'll have a lot of more exclusive kind of South by Southwest tailored stuff. But we'll also do one big public episode of kind of recapping the trip and the movies we saw. So
fun.
For now, it's time for the 2024 Oscars, the 96th Oscars It was quite the year. 23 categories. I say that because next year there will be 24 categories. Before getting into the results, kind of want to get your two's opinion on your feelings about this year's Oscars. Strong? Not strong? Are you like, Cindy, you've never been like a huge Oscars girly.
That has been the thing.
That's true.
I said it one time. No, but I'm not super into like the competitive awards side of film, which I know has been, I think, increasing in popularity lately, which I think is awesome. And I always like keep up to date with it. But Claire and I have been talking about this, that we were like, we want to catch up with it because we actually chose to see I Saw the TV Glow during the Oscars ceremony. Yeah. And the theater was completely sold out.
It was
like a
packed.
Lot of people really? Chose to go yeah. see it. But catching up with the Oscars, I mean, it sounds like this year it kind of went exactly how people expected, which mm-hmm. in many ways, mm-hmm. some not, of course, that always happens. But
do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that it almost seems like underwhelming in certain ways because there aren't like these big crazy upsets that people are talking about. But I think it's a good thing because it seems like the Academy is kind of awarding the right films that maybe they wouldn't have in previous years. Clara, I don't know what you think, because we both kind of caught up with it afterwards and saw who won. And we were kind of talking about it. And we were like, okay, yeah, like that makes sense. That's who I thought should have won.
Yeah, I feel like us hanging out, we have the same brain now because you've said everything I would have said about that. I mean, the Oscars are fun. I think it's too late in the year for me now to like be as enthused as I have been in the past. Like a March like air is just like, it's so removed from the nominations, and then it's so removed, it feels like, from the year as a whole. It's like, I mean, we've already gotten Dune Part 2. We're already getting big movies for the next year. So I'm kind of like, I had a great time with 2023 films, but I'm like, I'm checked out of the award season at this point, I think, a little bit more than usual.
Do you think there's a reason for that? Are you like kind of awards exhausted?
I'm just a hipster. I'm just too cool,
for the Oscars.
You like all the Oscars. Just too cool for the Oscars. I'm watching French films. I'm busy.
That's fair. That's ooh, fair. La, la. I'm still an Oscars girly. I still watch everything nominated. Mm-hmm. This year I did not.
Oh, what did you miss?
You didn't get to everything?
There were three movies I missed. There was one documentary, To Kill a Tiger, which
dropped on Netflix yesterday.
Friday. Which was like, by the time Friday rolled around, I was already like tearing my hair out. Like, I don't have time to watch To Kill a Tiger. I got to watch Damsel. You know, that's really priority.
Urgent
gotta
stuff.
Got to watch Ricky Stenicki, bro.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
I did do a Kung Fu Panda 4 imaginary Damsel triple feature.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was like my way of disassociating. You know, there was so much going on. I was like, I'll just watch this stuff. And
I'm
just kind of like sit in a theater and just rot. I missed To Kill a Tiger and then two international films, Teacher's Lounge.
And
the other one is going to be Io Capitano.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that one was tough. I saw Teacher's Lounge. I watched that right before we left for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I liked it.
I feel like I would like it as well. But like Io Capitano was playing in one theater on the opposite side of LA. I was like, wow, I have no time to get out there. And then Teacher's Lounge, I think it's on VOD now?
It's on VOD finally. Yeah, that just hit VOD like this
recently,
past weekend. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's not to, I tried. I tried watching them, but I just couldn't get to them. Anyways, I like the Oscars a lot. I think it's fun. But I do wonder, like, if the predictability of it is making it less enjoyable. Like, is it fun to fill out a ballot and feel like, oh, am I going to go 23 for 23, 21 for 23? Like, this year I didn't, though.
Oh,
really?
I missed five.
What?
I think this is my worst showing in a few years.
I mean, I have lost. Who are you?
To be fair, I think there were some pretty incredible upsets. You know, especially with considering the momentum going into that night, it really felt like it was going in the other direction. We'll talk about it in a second. Let's talk about it now. Okay. We're here.
Let's talk about it.
I'm going to go quickly through the shorts.
Okay.
Live action short went to, no surprise to anybody, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Wes Anderson's first Oscar ever.
And he wasn't even there. And you know what? He shouldn't have been, because he should have gotten an Oscar years ago.
I would stop going too if I was him.
It's so funny to think that like Rami was, I believe, introducing the award. And I don't know if you guys, you didn't watch it, but I was there. He said, like, congrats to Wes. And he's like, we knew you could do him long. Clearly you could do him short. It just made me, I was in the theater. I just think Rami Youssef is one of the funniest people on the planet.
He is so funny.
the way he said it, because Wes didn't show up. So he's just like, congrats, Wes. We knew you could do it long. Aww. And then he just walked away. It's like, yeah, he can do it long as well. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyways, that one, that was not a big surprise. Short film, animated, went to War Is Over, which I saw all of these. This, to me, was the worst.
I heard that this was one of the upsets.
This was, I wouldn't say, this was not, I don't think, an upset. I think this was maybe the favorite, not by much maybe, but people were like, this is probably going to win. It's just, it's just bad, in my opinion.
So interesting. Wow. I feel like some people were saying Letter to a Pig.
Letter to a Pig was also like, I would say it's between those two.
Yeah.
I just don't, and this is maybe not too big of a slight on the Academy, like you just can't like, they love a corny, cheesy, like, war is over. Like, it's so bad, guys, stop. Yeah. So it really felt like that was, like, up their alley.
That's so true.
Documentary short subject went to The Last Repair Shop. This is kind of exactly the opposite of what I'm saying. People thought it was going to go to the ABC's A Book Banning, which is a documentary about that. Yeah,
that was not again, very good.
It was not very good. It's a very important topic. You know, don't ban books, but it's like the documentary just feels like a PowerPoint. It's like
it was,
some slides of like,
it was pretty weak.
This book is being challenged. This book is banned. It's like frustrating because this is a really important topic, but this is a poorly made documentary.
Yeah.
I went to Last Repair Shop, which if you haven't seen anybody, I think it's either on Netflix. It's accessible.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's a New Yorker, so those always are for free.
I think it's an LA Times one.
Oh.
Because it's an LA-based story. They thank the LA Times at their speech.
I think that director just usually works with the New Yorker. That's what I'm thinking.
Ben Proudfoot.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked about him. He's an amazing documentarian. Highly recommend Last Repair Shop. I really enjoyed that one. That was a really fun one to see when people were really excited about that. Those are your shorts. Technical stuff. Godzilla Minus One is an Oscar winning movie.
Let's fucking go.
Does that shock you at all, either of you, Sid?
No, it doesn't actually. Does it shock you?
No, but like some people were wondering, oh, will the creator sneak up and take the win?
No, the people didn't like the creator enough.
That's true. They did not.
Yeah, that's very true.
Great VFX and the creator.
Great VFX, but you're right. The momentum behind Godzilla Minus One was insane.
Well, I think just the shock of how low the budget was and what they were able to
pull off
with that. Claire and I were admiring their Godzilla-themed shoes.
Yeah, those are so cute. So adorable.
They were in the lobby after the Oscars, just like hanging out, taking photos with everyone. Because they brought their like Godzilla statues. So they were like just taking photos with anybody who like walked up. They were just so excited.
They just so clearly love Godzilla.
That's amazing. So cool.
I'm so glad they got it. It was really deserving. Editing. I won't get to editing yet because that's like a kind of a
pretty big one.
Well, it's just like if I can organize this by movie because like editing, cinematography. Well, you know, editing, cinematography, sound. Nope, that's wrong. Editing, cinematography, original score. All went to Oppenheimer.
Hell yeah.
Shock? Surprise?
No.
Deserved. Not at all. Earned. I thought that editing might go to Killers of the Flower Moon.
I thought that too.
Thelma Schoonmaker is so
prolific.
Legendary.
Amazing. Talented. Yeah. But I'm certainly not upset about it.
Neither am I. And if I'm going in batches, production design, costume design, and makeup and hairstyling all went to Poor Things. So this is where things went awry for me on my ballot.
You went Barbie.
I went Barbie. Okay. So here's what I went. Actually went three different movies. I did Poor Things for production design, which, you know, that could have gone to Barbie, but I leaned Poor Things. Makeup and hairstyling, according to the odds on the internet,
the bubble,
you know, all the expert predictions, many people felt that Maestro was going to take that.
Really?
Makeup and hairstyling. But it went to Barbie. It went to Poor Things. Once Poor Things won that award, they took production design. I knew. I was like, oh, they're going to take costume.
Yeah.
And they did, which then kind of shut out Barbie from all of those kind of
Because did categories. Barbie get anything besides Best Original Song?
Barbie did not.
The girlies are pissed.
Oscar for Best Original Song.
Wow. Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Really?
I like Barbie. I think I like Barbie more than both of you, if I'm being honest.
I think so too.
But there is a lot of technical achievements that I admire about it. Like, mm-hmm. if it won production design or costuming, no qualms on my behalf.
Yeah, it would have made sense.
Would have made sense. And I thought, you know, it clearly was the biggest movie of the year. Mm. People love it. I just kind of thought the momentum was there, but clearly I was wrong. You know, I Oscar voters went with what the BAFTA said, and they took Poor Things for everything. So that was kind of the first big upset on my ballot.
Damn. Fair. Because I didn't know how much the Academy would like Poor Things just because it's so vulgar.
Yeah. Or a little bit more provocative for their taste.
Yeah.
But they loved The Favorite.
They did.
This is true.
But I mean, I would say, I mean, Poor Things a little bit. Up a notch.
Yes.
Up
that's
a notch
true.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And they're consistently characterized a little bit more prudish. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Poor Things took those three big awards. If we go to Best Sound, that went over to The Zone of Interest. I put Oppie, if I'm being honest.
Oh, did really?
Yeah, I thought Oppie was going to take it, but Zone took it. And, you know, I think those are two great movies that use the sound. Zone, obviously, a movie that really puts a lot of emphasis on sound, so that's not too shocking.
That was an inspired choice.
Yeah,
I thought that was exciting.
Yeah, me too.
Original song went to, what was I made for Barbie. However, the highlight of the Oscars was probably the I'm Just Ken.
Don't say that.
Oh, why?
They're going to go, but it's not about Ken. It's about Barbie.
We know that, but you can still take the time to appreciate
I
the
agree.
Performance.
Joe, you got to see it in person. What I was know. That like?
It was fun. Yeah, people were into it. People were having such a good time.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is just like effortlessly charming and just so funny. And it, you know, the way he's interacting with the people in the audience and like being on stage, it's just like a really infectious charm.
He is Riz personified.
Yes.
Nothing else really was contending for that award, for being honest. Not the Flamin' Hot song.
What?
I can't believe the Flamin' Hot song got in and not Dear Alien, Who Art in Heaven from Asteroid City.
I meant about that. Or the theater camp song.
Or the theater. What is it? Camp's not home.
But it is.
But it is.
I love that song.
Or if you're a child, Peaches is a.
Peaches. Oh. I would have taken Peaches.
Over the Flamin' Hot. Yeah.
You can't deny the cultural impact of Peaches.
I did interview Eva Longoria. She was very, very kind. And I just asked her like, but what she wants to do, you know, in the future. This was technically her feature directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
She's into biopics, I guess.
Yeah,
she wants to just do more biopics.
Oh, cool! That's good interesting. You should have asked her about Desperate Housewives.
It crossed my mind, but she was very enthusiastic about the biopics, and it makes sense for her
because
she said she wants to focus on like her heritage.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And her culture and telling those stories that don't get told. And like, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope she gets the chance to do that. So, original score. I mean, not surprising, but
that was, I think like we did our one of our patrons made a ballot for just like the people in our Discord or all of our patrons. I did it. I'm not good at predicting, but I did it. And this was one of the ones where I was like, yeah, it's Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer. It's
can
there's
you
no
hear
question.
The music?
Yeah.
I guess for every category, I was telling a story. I did also talk to Ludvig Göransson.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Incredible guy.
What do you even say to a person like that?
I know.
Like, wow. I asked him about like, you know, this is your, you've worked with Nolan before.
Yeah.
This and Tenet, like what's it like working with Nolan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone like Ludvig, sorry, we're recording from an Airbnb right now.
I know. I wonder if that's coming through.
I don't think so. But there's people above us, and they're
having fun. They're having a party, maybe. I don't know what's going on.
God, it made me cough. One of my favorite questions to ask people like Ludvig, who is, you know, arguably in his medium, like, up there, the top, like top talent.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with people like John Williams and Hans Zimmer,
mm-hmm.
they're always going to be legendaries. But like in terms of like someone like Ludvig, who's a little bit younger, is going to have a long historic career. One of my favorite questions to ask those people are like, who are the contemporaries that you admire? And he just like went off.
Wow. Oh, I bet.
List.
I'm sure.
Just like all these people he like loves to listen to. He even brought up like the SZA album that like that came out as like an inspiration for him. So
that's, so
that's a
cool.
Great question.
The guy is just fully into music.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be seeing him for years and years to come. So
Yay.
International film went to the Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
For those who don't know, I always tell this fact because it's a fun fact. But if your movie is an international film nominee that is also nominated for Best Picture,
mm-hmm.
so far, that movie will never lose the international category.
Yeah.
I mean, checks out. Shout out Society of the Snow, though.
Shout out Society
of
the Snow.
One of my favorite movies of the year.
Is it fair? If you get nominated for Best Picture, should you also be nominated for International Film? Or
but how are they going to... I don't know if all the voting happens at once, but it's like, why are you then taking away another Oscar that they could win, I guess?
Yeah. And see, then I would argue going in that route is bad because then it's like, okay, well, then an animated film should never be nominated for Best Picture, which I don't agree with that either.
You make a really good point. Yeah.
Because what happens if they lose Best Picture?
Exactly, yeah.
I just feel bad because you get movies because how many of the Academy voters are even watching the other movies?
Right.
Yeah.
Probably not. Because like, oh, well, Zone is nominated for Best Picture. It must be amazing. So mm-hmm. I'll just vote for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably get so many of these incredible movies. Now, I didn't watch Io Capitano or The Teacher's Lounge, but mm-hmm. like I watched Sight of the Snow and Perfect mm-hmm. Days, great mm-hmm. movies. Like, I just wonder how many Academy members are just not watching them. And yeah, that's like my
favorite. Yeah. I mean, it's such a, it's known enough that everyone makes jokes constantly yeah. about people not watching the stuff yeah. on the ballot. So it's just like, that's so disheartening.
Yeah, sadly, you make a point. Documentary feature went to 20 Days in Mariupol. That was a pretty much a given.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the documentary, I highly recommend it. It's hard watch, but an important watch.
Mm.
Here's a big one. Animated feature did not go to Across the Spider-Verse.
This is your moment.
Yes, sir.
It did indeed go to The Boy and the Heron.
Hell fucking yeah.
Now, I was ecstatic. When that happened, yeah. The person next to me like looked at me like, freaked out. I went, I was shocked. Just like, I could not believe what I was hearing. Across the Spider-Verse, obviously a very beloved movie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you shocked by that, Sid?
I am a little shocked. I'm shocked that the Academy would make that decision. I think The Boy and the Heron absolutely deserved that win.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know anyone who really was like, yeah, it's going to be The Boy and the Heron. Just from the history of the Oscars.
Exactly. Exactly.
That surprised you, Clara?
I think I predicted it would win, but even when I'm doing my predictions, I'm like, I'm going to just pick what I want to win and I know it won't work out. Yeah. I'm like, manifest I'm trying, it. I'm willing it into existence. Like I want it to happen. So like, I don't know. I was like, probably won't, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think G Kids campaigned really well
yeah.
for it. I feel
yeah.
like they did
yeah,
a really good
true,
job.
Actually.
Here's a question for you two. What are the odds? Because remember when Boy and the Heron was first announced, it was like, this is it. Miyazaki's done. It's his final movie.
Mm.
How many of the Academy members assumed that was still fact
mm.
leading up
and
to the vote?
Why they were
and
like,
that's why they voted.
Vote. That would be annoying if that was the case because he should have already won like 6 times.
Yeah.
We're at a point. He only has 2, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many Academy members like heard that story. It was like, never heard that he's actually going to make another movie
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, if it's the last movie, we got to give it to him.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's interesting.
I don't know. Just speculation. There's no,
yeah. Yeah.
That. I'm just kind of curious about that. I also, we know talked a lot about like sequels in trilogies, never getting their flowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Across the Spider-Verse was going to kind of break that curse and it clearly it didn't.
I don't know. I mean, I think that Into the Spider-Verse was such a big moment. And
yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse, it feels like the continuation, but it's mm-hmm. maybe not making that deeper impact.
Mm-hmm.
But also shout out Nimona. Nimona.
Shout out Nimona.
I know Nimona.
So good.
Shout out Robot Dreams. I love Robot Dreams.
I never
Dreams.
Watched it.
I still
it,
need
but
to
but
see
I'm
that.
Hearing
I'm
such
so
great
excited.
Things.
It's yeah. really, really good. I interviewed Shameik Moore.
Oh,
yay.
Really, really nice guy.
He put out a really gracious tweet about The Boy and the Heron winning.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why? Do you seem salty?
Well, first he tweeted robbed.
Oh, I only saw a tweet that was like, you know, great film, you know. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
His first tweet was robbed, R-O-B-E-D. And then he tweeted again, robbed, R-O-B-B-E-D with an asterisk, I believe. I think that's how the sequence
tweets.
I believe 2 separate tweets.
Oh.
And then he's put out the second tweet or the third tweet that says like, great movie, but Across the Spider-Verse is like means a lot to people. We'll be back in the beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, very nice person.
Yay.
When I talked to him, he was very confident they were going to win.
Oh, no.
He came up to me. The first thing he said was, I was like, how are you doing? And he's like, pretty good. About to secure this win.
Oh.
He jinxed it.
Maybe he jinxed it.
He might have jinxed it. Oh, no.
He's going to, I mean, Beyond's going to be a great movie.
Yeah. It'll be huge.
And like I said, like we've all acknowledged, Spider-Verse is an important film and mm-hmm. will be an important trilogy to so many people.
Maybe mm-hmm. they'll come back like Return of the King and they'll win it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The third with movie will take the win. Yeah. So that was probably the one moment. Well, this one of two moments that I felt like, whoa, that was mm-hmm. kind of a crazy yeah. moment. Adapted screenplay went to American Fiction, which, you know, shout out to American Fiction because Claire and I just talked about that movie and the book over mm-hmm. on Patreon,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Erasure by Percival Everett. So if you want to hear that, that's on Patreon. Another plug.
Boom.
Boom. There you go. But yeah, that was a kind of a predicted winner. But how did you feel, Claire? I mean, you and I both read it and talked about it, and you love American Fiction.
I love American Fiction. I was rooting for it from the get-go. I know it was like, it's one of those ones where I feel like it was sneaking up. Like people were like, mm-hmm. No. And then all of a sudden it started to scoop some stuff and like, oh, American Fiction might take it. And I was like, hell yeah, it will. I was stoked. That was such a big like, yippee.
Yeah. Yeah. Your thoughts?
I really liked American Fiction too, and I did feel like it was getting really good word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Like I was surprised how many people were really getting out to the theater to see it. And I think it's an amazing, amazing win. But yeah. I know a lot of people were, Killers of the Flower Moon was not even nominated.
Yeah, which is, that's shameful. Honestly.
That's a crazy thing to happen. I mean, I guess there was a lot of conversation about how it was adapted. And I personally wasn't even the biggest fan of how it was adapted. I think that the motivation for it was mm-hmm. good,
uh-huh.
But I did prefer the book.
The book is interesting.
But still, I'm yeah. like, dude,
yeah.
how it's, does that yeah. even happen?
There was a couple of those this year where it's like, that's not even nominated, or that person's not yeah. even nominated. Yeah. Flower Moon for the adaptation was definitely like the biggest like mm-hmm. eyebrow raiser.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see Cord Jefferson's acceptance speech by any chance?
No.
No.
Cord Jefferson, I love the guy to death. Mm. Unfortunately, I could not talk to him on the carpet. I think he Damn. Was a little busy, but his speech was one of my favorites of that night, where he talked about like Hollywood and how Hollywood should start giving chances or like taking more risks on these like smaller movies. Mm. And like the way he worded it, he said like, yeah, like small movies are a risk, but so are $200 million movies.
Yeah.
And I think his exact quote was like, instead of making $200 million movies, why not make 10, $20 million movies?
Yes, I did see that.
I like that.
And like everybody was like so pumped when they heard that.
Hell
it's
yeah.
true. Like we've yeah. talked a lot on this podcast, all of us together, about how like the death of like the mid-level budget movie mm-hmm. is ongoing. And you get a movie like American Fiction that wins the Academy Award, people love, like, you don't need everything to be $200 million. I mean, Argyle costs like $200 million.
That's oh my like, God. I know, it's like, it's money down the drain.
Yeah,
yeah, it's gone.
I would take 30 American Fictions over one Argyle.
Same. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways,
yeah.
That was a fun win. Original screenplay went to Anatomy of Fall, Justin Triet, Anatomy of Fall.
Win.
I mean, I'm so happy. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just happy it happened. Clara?
I'm super stoked. I read like little snippets of the screenplay to like help test my French. And it was a really good read. Like it's such a good story. Like I love the way it unfolds. It's like, it's so earned. Like was anyone thinking anything else was going to win? I feel like.
I think the one other movie that people were rooting for was Past Lives.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Exactly. And so it's like, I'm so happy Anatomy of Fall won. Yeah. And then you look like, well, if Past Lives would have mm-hmm. won, I think we also would have been really, really happy about that.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly okay. how I feel.
I was not a Anatomy of Fall all the way.
I love Anatomy of Fall. I think I'm glad it got a win in the screenplay. But yeah. Past Lives is a meaningful movie to me and to you.
Yes, deeply.
Were you a fan, Sid?
I'm not a romantic, but I think it was an excellent
yeah.
film.
Sid mm-hmm. just really hates love, so.
I just hate love and happiness, yeah. so.
That's okay.
I liked when the husband died and they were fighting the whole time.
Sid loves when Conor McGregor walks in and yells at you. I saw Teo Yu in person. Handsome man. I'll just say that. Handsome
yeah.
man.
Yep. We know.
Greta Lee, I don't know if she walked the carpet or she just like ran by. I didn't see her at any point. But then I saw her on the stage or like on the audience. And also,
oh, interesting.
Stunning. Let's get to the acting categories.
Okay. Fun. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to the surprise one last. Okay. Actress in a supporting role went to Divine Joy Randolph.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
I mean,
earned.
It was very, again, very inspired of how much of a shoo-in she was this whole time.
Yes.
I mean, she was so good.
Yeah, she was amazing. And, you know, the Oscars ceremony, I know you didn't watch it, but I would say this ceremony, besides Jimmy Kimmel as a host, which we need to just move on from that.
Yeah.
Good, sir. I think a good show overall. I think it was really smart to bring out, you know, if they did the thing where they brought out five previous winners in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the five previous winners would give a small, short monologue about a nominee. So, like,
that's cool.
I think it was Regina King who, like, introduced Divine Joy Randolph, and, like, a different people introduced different nominees. It was really fun, really, like, touching. There's a funny story about another one in a second. But yeah, I mean, Divine Joy Randolph was a shoo-in. Like,
yeah.
You said, really inspiring moment when you know she's going to win because she deserves it. And she was excellent on stage, and her speech was great. So good win. Actor in supporting role went to, unsurprisingly, Robert Downey Jr.
Wow.
Also great speech. He's a very charismatic man. My question to all of us is, that who you would have chosen?
No.
Oof. I know. I was one of the few people who came out of Oppenheimer saying, like, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good too.
I'm blanking on maybe what I would have chosen in supporting instead.
So here's your list that was nominated: Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
Yeah.
That was your list.
If I'm honest, this was one of the weakest categories to me looking at it. Like, there was no one. I think, like,
I forgot. Tao Yu from Past Life. Charles Milton from May December.
So it's like, if one of them were in that category, I would be like, yeah, that's exciting. I think maybe Sterling K. Brown is the one that I'm like, that would be a kick-ass win.
Yeah.
I thought that's also who I was rooting for.
Mark Ruffalo, really cool turn from him.
Really cool turn.
I think he was great in Poor Things. I did not know he fucking had that in him, but it was fun. RDJ, I didn't even like De Niro all that much.
Oh, really? I love De Niro in that role.
Who would you have picked?
I also think I'd go Sterling K. Brown.
Okay.
I think he's so good in American Fiction.
Yeah, you loved him in American Fiction.
And again, none of us are saying RDJ isn't great in Oppenheimer. I think he is very good in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, out of that cast, I don't think he's even, like, in my top four performances in that cast.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for Robert Downey Jr. as an actor. I'm glad he got there.
Yeah. I think, like, after his career, like, he more
definitely
than deserves
it.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Would you have picked Sterling K. Brown, Clara?
I said it on our podcast episode about American Fiction. I was like, I think he should win. I think it's dumb that he's not going to win. I'm full for him. Like,
I don't disagree at all. So I'm probably getting a bunch of hate mail right now.
Too bad. Again. So sad.
No, again, we like RDJ, and I'm so happy for him as an actor to see him kind of go in this direction. So.
Yeah.
Actor in a leading role went to Cillian Murphy.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
Anyone upset Paul Giamatti didn't get it, or did we see this coming?
I saw it coming.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to get it.
That's what I would
Here's the story I was going to tell. And it's like, so the, like I said, they brought out past winners to introduce the nominees. Nicolas Cage is the one that introduced Paul Giamatti. And there's a really funny moment where he goes, like, Paul Giamatti wore a contact in his eye to make him have a lazy eye where he couldn't see all day, which is pretty crazy. No one would do that. He's like, well, I would do that.
And that's why they were paired together.
The whole audience, like, erupted. Aww. It was a really funny moment.
And now the world wants a comedy with the two of them.
I'm ready for it.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, the actor in the leading role, Cillian, taking it. Not shocking. Mm-mm. Happy for Cillian. I mean, he's just great as J-Bob.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J-Bob.
Is there somebody, Jay Bob and Hyper?
Oppie boy.
If Killian's not your choice, let's pretend like he's not even here. Of the other four, Cooper, Domingo, J Jeffrey Wright and Paul Giamatti. Is it just Giamatti next for both of you, or?
I'd go Jeffrey Wright.
I would also go Jeffrey Wright, not only because he also, I would have him think, I'm glad you brought him up because I also would have nominated him for supporting in Asteroid City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so good at that.
I watch his big speech in that about, like, you know, that was life. That was life speech regularly.
Oh, it's so good. Cry.
Astro City Best Picture?
No, it literally should have been nominated.
Claire and I both liked it that much.
We love Astro City.
I liked it. I need to give it another shot because I see the love for it. I feel like I just watched it in the wrong, with the wrong people.
I definitely came around more on my second watch.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the case for me as well.
Fair. But Paul Giamatti, I mean, deserves it.
Yeah, he's great too.
Love him to death. Yeah. Okay. Well, actress in leading role. The winner was Emma Stone for Poor Things. I will say this is the second time of the night. And this is probably the one time of the night where you could really feel the air leaving the theater.
That was one of the biggest questions I had for Joe. I was like, that moment, I can only imagine what was it like being in that room. And yeah, it seems like there was a big...
shift. You know, and none of it is animosity directed toward Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. None of it is like... upset at her. She's an incredibly talented actress, incredibly talented in Poor Things. She's amazing in that. None of it is like, fuck, Emma Stone got it. It's all like, fuck, we just really wanted to see Lily Gladstone on that stage. And that's really what it boils down to. And I think that's what's really important about that particular scenario is that I think a lot of people just wanted to see Lily on the stage because she's so incredible in Flower Moon. And I wanted her to win. I'm not like if there's anybody else winning. I think this is actually a really strong category. I think Sandra Hüller is all somebody who's amazing in Anatomy of Fall that could have would have won, and I would have not been upset by that. So like, tough category, but Lily Gladstone's going to have an amazing career, and that's kind of like the silver lining in all this for me.
I mean, I think the fear was that it is so hard for people of color to have the same careers in Hollywood, and that Oscar win would have been really big for her. Everyone loves Emma Stone. You could tell that she was really heartbroken that she even won. And I like that she said in her speech, like, Yorgos told me, take yourself out of it. Like, it's not about me. And I thought that was a good way for her to, like, kind of acknowledge what was going on without, like, really acknowledging. Yeah, man, I did. I think, like, if I had to look at it objectively, I would have picked Sandra Hüller. But I was just so moved by, like, that whole film. But Lily Gladstone, I mean, I really wanted Lily Gladstone to win.
Claire, how do you feel?
I'm really sad. I wanted Lily to win so bad because, like, I don't know. They're such a cool, like, they're such a good activist, too. It's not even just, like, the acting. Like, I mean, they're just a good person, in my opinion. But, like, I think it was... deeply deserved. And like, I think it was just frustrating because it's like, you know, you hear the conversation for so long of like, it's a shoo-in, like, of course, of course it's gonna be Lily, of course it's gonna be Lily. And like, that obviously built hype in like a film community, but like, there's a bigger picture of it too, where it's like the indigenous community was like really, really like rallying, and just like, you know, you finally get a moment where it feels like they're being acknowledged and seen in a way that's like positive, and then it's like it's such a shame. I'm sad.
Did Lily win the BAFTA? I forget.
She wasn't even nominated for the BAFTA.
Really?
And that's kind of what people are like.
That's right.
The Oscars really went with BAFTAs this year because they really love Poor Things.
Yeah.
They didn't. Excuse me. They didn't nominate Lily. Emma won the BAFTA, but then, you know, Lily would win the SAG a couple weeks later, and that's like you said. Like, actors. There's all that discussion of like, oh, she's going to be it. It's a shoo-in. Shout out to the guy on Twitter who retweeted me saying I was an idiot for assuming she was never the frontrunner.
Oh, my God.
Because when she won the SAG, I was like, oh, nice. It feels like she's back in the front running, you know, to win this award. And someone retweeted me saying, she always was. You're such an idiot thinking that. And I was like, I wonder how they're feeling right about now.
Oh, no.
So anyways, that was a crazy moment of the night. But again, I think it's important to know that like no one in that building was upset with Emma.
And
I hope no one's giving her any type of problems.
No, because I mean, it's not like she bought the award. Yeah, exactly. It's like they vote, like the Academy voted. It's like she can't do anything about that.
Here's a question for you that people have been talking about a lot. And of course, we're talking about it not because of just this award, but because of an idiotic joke that Jimmy Kimmel made. How many of those Academy voters watched Killers of Flower Moon? or avoided it because it was 3.5 hours long?
See, I was seeing part of that conversation too, being about how like Scorsese's like later work right now is so indicative of like America is evil and is like irredeemable at this point. And like we have to reconcile with that and like acknowledge it. And that's, I think, a confrontation that, I mean, a lot of people don't want to make, but maybe also especially the Academy, who like, you know, aren't talking about Palestine or anything like that. It's like they don't want those kind of conversations. And I think that leads to stuff like this where they're like, I'm not going to watch Killers, which is like, what's wrong with you? Like, just watch the movie.
You would assume that's the case. You know, they're Academy voters. They're going to watch the movie. But Jimmy Kimmel's joke, which we didn't hear, it was basically, it was just an idiot. It's not even like, it's not insensitive. It's just like, we've heard this joke a million times. Yeah. And it's like, we need to move on. And if hosts are making this joke, like, can we get somebody who actually cares at this point?
Yeah, literally.
But it was just like, Killers of the Flower Moon, that movie is so long. I had to send my mail to the movie so I could watch all of it. It was some bullshit like that.
It's not like, even that long. Like, there are so I saw another tweet that was saying, like, you know, Oppenheimer, 3 hours long. Dune, almost 3 hours long. Like, it's kind of getting, it is, it's getting old. Like,
he made
people
a joke,
want these
he
movies.
Also made a joke about that, saying, like, movies are now averaging 2.5 hours. You know, 30 years ago, it was only like 90 minutes. Like, what? It's just like,
God forbid we get a full story.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? Like,
it's yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. And I hope we, it's just like the same joke over and over again.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Claire and I have been spending too much time together.
It's not even fun anymore. So anyways, that was an interesting moment of the night. Best director went to Christopher Nolan.
I think that's awesome.
Slay. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome.
Deserved.
And then best picture went to Oppie.
Yep.
I mean, at no point in the race did it feel like it was never not going to be Oppenheimer?
I know. Yeah. Isn't that? So do you think that that's like cool that it's like, wow, this movie was so good and made such an impact that it was never in question? Or is it kind of like, and then it's exaggerated even more by the fact that Al Pacino got up there. This is another one. You're in the room for this, but it's like, it totally kind of muffled the moment because he was like, My eyes are seeing Oppenheimer, and everyone was like, oh.
He's playing I Spy.
Honestly, that was my exact reaction when it happened. At that point in the ceremony, I'm in a different spot than my seat. I went to a box with some other people, and we're there, and you have to stand in the box because sitting, you can't see over the ledge. Mm-hmm. So we're standing. It's the last awards. No big deal. Mm-hmm. And Al Pacino strolls up. I'm like, I love Al Pacino. I love him. I love him to death. And he goes, he does this, you know, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And like, people are looking at you like, what does that mean?
It's a riddle. Like,
and he's saying it though, like, as he's like trying to like open this envelope.
Right.
He's struggling with it. And so like, people don't know if he's like just saying it to say it.
Or if we're getting a La La Land
2.0. If we're getting a La La Land. Yeah. Oh my God. People are very wary of that.
Yes.
Extremely. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about that as well. So
okay, great.
After Emma Stone won, he was like, make sure to take her envelope. We don't want a mix up again.
that's so dumb.
So yeah, that moment when Al Pacino was like, we didn't know. Even the music kind of like starts off slow.
Yeah.
It's like,
wait, even the music was kind of like,
yes.
Yeah, are we sure?
Yes.
Is it Oppie or is it not Oppie?
Oh my God.
But Oppenheimer won. To go back to your question, is it a cool thing that Oppenheimer was always a front runner? I don't know. You know, part of me is like, do we deserve tighter races? Do we deserve races that are like more intense and like where we're like wondering on the edge of our seat, is it going to be this? Is it going to be that?
Yeah.
Does that make for a more exciting and more conversational ceremony? I don't know. Like, honestly, it's really just like bias. Like at this point, like I love it when the movie I love is the clear front runner to win. Like when Everything Everywhere Once was like the shoe in to win it, I was like, oh, I love this feeling. So it's hard to say. I don't know how I feel about that. Clara?
I don't know. I think the thing that keeps popping in my head is that it makes me question, like, are we going to keep getting, like, the people who are, like, the Academy doesn't care about, like, general audiences or, like, that kind of thing? It's like, how does, like, something like Oppie, like, being, like, so obviously the winner for so long, like, change that conversation? I feel like it won't, because the Barbie people are riding hard right now. So it's like, maybe not. But I don't know. It's like fun. I mean, I like Oppenheimer. It's my number one of last year. So I'm like, yay. But I don't know. I feel like I crave like upsets or like tighter races in the other categories almost.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's really fair. Yeah. And I think Oppenheimer may change. I mean, I think things have been changing a lot over the last 5 years in terms of who's winning Best Picture. I think everything everyone wants winning Best Picture was a big moment. Mm-hmm. Parasite winning Best Picture was a big moment. Mm-hmm. We had our pandemic years and that was different. I don't know if that's just different. I mean, that's like...
It happened.
The Coda Nomadland one, that happened.
Yeah.
But I think like Oppie, clearly popular movie among a lot of people, made a lot of money. So I think that like to make the accusation that the Academy isn't picking movies that are popular amongst like more normal casual moviegoers is just like false now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
like almost genuine. Unequivocally false. I mean, last year we're getting like Top Gun Maverick and Avatar Way of Water are being nominated. Yeah. Like I don't think that's the case anymore. And like those aren't even nominations are like we're picking it because it's popular. Like there's merit to those picks, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think it's more of a testament to like maybe blockbuster entertainment getting, I don't want to say getting better overall, but we are getting a lot of like really kick-ass big budget movies amongst the not so kick-ass ones.
Right.
But I guess talking about it, I'm realizing like maybe it is just a testament to how good Oppenheimer is that it was never really a question. I mean, that movie blew everyone away.
Yeah.
Unintentional pun. Sorry.
I didn't even realize it.
I don't even know. Personally, there was another movie. Like, it's like, I feel like everything that should have gotten nominated in this context did. But except, like, you know, John Wick, if Asteroid City got nominated, I would have been like, I secretly hope it's Asteroid City. But like, maybe Anatomy of a Fall, I thought also deserved it. But otherwise, it really was always Oppenheimer, which is cool.
I agree. It's a good segue to a question I want to ask you both. 2025 is far away, but like Dune is
we're back to Dune.
It all leads back. I don't think you can right now say like this is the best picture winner, but like depending on how the year shapes out, I can't imagine Dune is not like front runner for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming out a bit earlier in the year, but I just don't see people forgetting about
it. They won't.
No, it'll be
especially
in everything,
if they do like a re-release
situation thing.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Good point.
What'd you say?
It's going to be another like everything everywhere situation. Yeah. Because that came out in
March. South by Southwest premiere.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And that kept momentum the entire year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
and
did.
And really
so,
picked
I mean,
up during the war season.
I've never seen shit like this. It's like, dude, I don't know. It's just been crazy the way
people
are talking about
it. Videos I see every day of just like, may thy knife chip.
Yeah,
literally. It's been memeing. People
memed it.
Everyone is into
it. I made a video about it at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll get posted or not. I said like, may thy mic chip and shatter.
Ooh, okay.
We'll see if it gets posted. I'll say I don't know yet.
Wait, that's funny. Dune's going to be in there. For sure.
Yeah, I think so.
And
that's Furiosa. I mean, Fury Road, you know, cleaned up and technical. So it's not impossible.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting close to the end. Do you guys have any questions for me about my experience there?
Dude, I mean, what do I not have a question?
I know,
about?
It's kind of just like, tell us everything.
But I did have, you said you were hush-hush, and I was glad because you were going to save it for the episode.
Yes.
Who was like the most exciting person that you got to interview?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a little bit different. There are a lot of people I was really excited to talk to. Mm-hmm. There's a person I was excited to talk to, and there's a person I was starstruck by. Now, I've been very humble and fortunate by being able to be in this position. I'm so grateful to be here. So I don't get starstruck often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like, these are people. Mm-hmm. I'm a person. They want to be treated like people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'm not one to like really approach actors or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, of course there are a couple people I'm like, whoa, that's that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I was walking behind Chris Hemsworth like into the Oscars and I was like, he's a tall, handsome, talented guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bother him, you know?
Yeah.
But when James Wan walked by me at the Night Swim premiere, I was like, I need to go say hi, James Wan. I have to say
hi. I love James Wan.
So like, it obviously varies by person. But so the most person I was excited to talk to the most was Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
And she did come by.
Yes.
And we did talk. And we did talk about everything over once. And at the end, I had to tell her the story of how I was rooting for her so hard last year that I told everybody that I'd get a tattoo of her if she won.
Yay.
And they uploaded my tattoo to like an iPad and I showed it to her.
Oh, yay.
And she was like, that's not me. I'm like, well, technically that is you.
It kind of.
And she like showed it and she like laughed and she was really sweet about it.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you got to show her.
So
that was an incredible moment. It's, you know, the movie meant a lot to me and yeah. she means a lot to me.
Yeah.
That was probably the most person I'm most excited to talk to. The person I was starstruck.
I wanted to guess, but you said it's someone unexpected.
It is someone, not a single person, unless you watch the live stream, not a single person will guess who I was starstruck by the most. Mostly because this person is not related to the movie world.
No?
None. He's not an actor. Mm. The first question I wanted to ask him was, why are you here? But I didn't.
Whoa, wait, this is so fascinating. Wait, let me have one guess.
Take the one guess.
Clara, do you have any guesses?
I don't know famous people's names.
He's not, was Joe Biden there?
Oh my God.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
Obama. Okay.
No, Obama. I would say in the world of sports.
Travis?
No, not Travis.
Tom Brady?
That was a good guess. The Travis Kelce was a good guess. Not Tom Brady. No.
Is it someone that you like or
it's
they're
someone
just
that I adore?
In the
love.
World of sports?
Love. This is a fun
what
little
sports?
Hint.
Is it a tennis player?
It is a tennis player.
Serena?
No. Oh, no. Oh. Good guess. I would have also lost my shit for Serena.
Okay.
Is it that one guy who is the guy? He's like really good.
It was a tennis player by the name of Roger Federer.
No way.
I don't know who that is.
Is he not really old?
He's like maybe in his like late 40s, early
50s. Oh, okay.
He looks amazing.
Is he still playing?
No, he's retired now.
Okay, that's what I thought. Wow.
Consistently
oh my,
called one of the
you.
Greatest tennis players of all time. I mean, I grew up watching him. Mm-hmm. When you were like, you know, in the mid-2000s watching tennis, it's like Roger Federer is like the GOAT,
He's literally the GOAT.
He's that guy. And so what happened is we're sitting there talking, you know, we're doing live, so you constantly be talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they passed me a cue card, and it says they wrote the name Roger Federer. And I was like, I read it like online, like, Roger Federer, like... What? And then, lo and behold, someone comes behind me. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Roger Federer.
Oh, my God.
I was on live. I was like, I really don't know what to say. Like, this is, like, the first moment I've ever been starstruck ever in my life.
Wow. Because it's just so unexpected. That's, like, someone who is really into football. It's just, like... Tom Brady,
exactly.
Just like out of nowhere.
So badly, I'm like, I wanted to say, why are you here? But I didn't, because, you know, I'm happy he's here. But it was just the most random encounter. So that was a moment.
Wow, I'm so happy for you.
And he chose to come talk to you because people can just skip
you.
He's
like, are you okay?
I was like, that guy looks like a tennis player.
I'm good. Issa Rae was a really, really nice person. She's just so talented, so funny. Mm-hmm. She was like, came up to me, and she was like, you're wearing green. I'm wearing green. I was like, yeah. I was like, we planned this. I was like, yeah.
Of course.
We totally coordinated this together.
Aww.
She was great. She's a really funny person.
Yay.
And really well-spoken about both American Fiction.
Because mm-hmm.
she was nominated in 3 different movies this year. Across Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. American Fiction, and Barbie.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Who else?
Queen.
Who else? Anya Taylor-Joy was had one question with her real quick for she had to leave, but I was able to ask about Furiosa. And that was just a really exciting moment. Talk to her.
No, Timmy, Zendaya.
No, Timmy was not there.
No, Dune.
Zendaya either did not show up. I think it's a really cool kind of insider knowledge. A lot of these like high top tier talented people, like A, triple A listers, they are not stopping for anybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes
they're
sense.
Going. They're mm-hmm. getting there 5 minutes before the show starts, mm-hmm. and they're going in.
Yeah,
you know when I was walking in, I was walking by Chris Hemsworth. People were screaming.
I can
his
only
name.
Imagine mm-hmm. it's almost too much. Like yeah. they can't engage.
Oh,
at
it's
all.
A lot. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Chris is a kind guy. He's like waving and saying hi, mm-hmm. saying all these people, but like he just doesn't have the time to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, or maybe doesn't even want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of these people, like Greta just walks straight in with Noah. Like these wow. people are just going straight in. Yeah. Margot walks straight in. Ryan okay. walks straight in. So, but yeah, I talked to Kihi Kwan.
Oh, he was a bundle of joy.
Oh, he is like the living manifestation of joy. He is just like so excited to be there. He's so happy. He's just like, just all around good guy.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah. So I talked to so many talented people. Yeah. Don Excesso was a really, you know, fun talk to.
Yeah. That's exciting.
So yeah. anyways.
We're just so happy for you.
I know, I'm so happy.
I know a lot of the roomies and people who love you are like tuning into this stream.
I know, it's so great.
You crushed it.
Thank you. I hope. You're natural. I hope. Everybody who did tune in, and if you didn't, I understand, but I appreciate everybody who did. And all the really nice messages, it means a lot. So thank you guys.
So sweet.
But I'm back
so
now. This is my baby. This is what I love, the house cinema. So I love doing that, but this is, I love this.
Yeah,
too.
Now we're together. The first time we've all been together in person.
It's so easy.
Surreal.
Crazy.
It's so okay.
Yeah, cuckoo bananas.
Cuckoo bananas. I have to let everybody go. Cuckoo is playing here, isn't it?
Cuckoo
is
playing tomorrow.
No.
Thursday. Wednesday's quiet.
Yeah.
Civil War. Well, wow. There's a lot of movies coming out South by Southwest. Yes. You want to hear it early on Patreon? Go check that out.
Yeah. Plug.
On that note, Clara has to get going to a screening, so this is a perfect time.
Gotta see my Donnie boy. I hope he doesn't hear me say that somehow, and he's like, "Don't ever say that ever again."
We're gonna get an email from the publicist. Hey, do you want to interview Don Hertzfeld?
Oh, Donnie boy, yeah,
Donnie boy. Amazing. Well, this was fun. Everybody listening, thank you so much for listening. Check out the Patreon if you'd like for exclusive episodes. You can sign up for free to see all the updates. Mm-hmm. This is hopefully coming out on a Tuesday, and the rest of the month of March may be a little chaotic and crazy, but we'll have stuff coming out as per usual, so don't stress about that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate us and review us on Spotify and Apple. At this point, Sydney and Claire, I will see you in 2 seconds.
We're staring at each other right now.
Everybody else, have a wonderful day, night, week, and weekend, and we'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye, listeners.
Bye-bye.